WLFE TV Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's show. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. Visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll find direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Download some past shows, subscribe to the podcast, sign up for our email list. This is your way to receive weekly updates on new shows, merch promos, and free giveaways. Tonight's show, we're talking with Carl Kennedy, longtime drummer of the Central New York power metal band, The Rods. Well, Carl has a brand new band, The 450s. They have a new album dropping tomorrow. Their debut, self-titled, comes out on Louder Than Loud Records, Carl's record company that he put together with a business associate last year. Well, Carl's here tonight. We're going to talk about this new album, how the band got together, who these musicians are that's on this new release. We go over and listen to some of the choice cuts on this album. Carl gives us an insight on how these songs were conceived and what the musicians in this band, what they brought to the table. We talk about his past relationships with the late, great Ronnie James Dio. He goes down heavy metal memory lane, and we talk about the Anthrax and Overkill days when he helped them produce some of those groundbreaking albums back in the mid-80s. It's a fun look inside, you know, a member of the heavy metal community. We like to support all our heroes here, and Carl, you know, the guy's a great dude. He was on the show last summer when he was promoting the Kennedy CD, his solo band. And he will tell us more about what Kennedy's up to and what him and the guys in the Rods are up to, because they have some new material coming out. So that's what we have for tonight. Next week, we'll have an exclusive interview with the guys from Raven. Last night, me and part of the Metal Mayhem ROC team took a ride down to New Jersey and saw the band on the Metal City tour. So we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with an exclusive interview with Raven. Now, that's a good one. Again, we invite you to go to the website, check out some of these past episodes, and please, rate and review. That kind of stuff really helps. We're going to quickly hear a promo from Podchaser.com, and then I'll be back with Carl Kennedy of The Rods and the brand new band, The 450s. I'm The Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Attention metalheads. Since we launched in 2019, Metal Mayhem ROC has been the go-to source for metalheads to talk about and hear the music they love. We can't thank you enough for being part of the family. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe so you know when we go live. Plus, tell folks why you like to listen when you leave a rating and review. If you're listening on another platform, head over to podchaser.com and type in Metal Mayhem ROC in the search bar. Hit subscribe, then rate the show and leave a comment on why you get your metal fix from the Vernomatic and his guests. Metal Mayhem ROC. Now, back to the show.
Just want to remind you folks about the Monday Night Live Metal Mayhem radio show that I host right on thatmetalstation.com. It's 3 hours of live metal, 50 years, play stuff from back in the day, stuff from new bands, new music from old bands. There's a chat room. You could come in, talk with other bangers around the country, around the world, no, as a matter of fact. It's a good time. It's a great way to bring your Metal Monday in for a landing. Talk about a good time. Today's guest is a veteran of over 40 plus years in the hard rock and heavy metal community, founding member of the metal band, The Rods. He's played and produced with bands like Manowar, Jack Starr, Rhett Forrester, Overkill, Exciter, Anthrax. He's here today to talk about his brand new band that he has, the 450s. Let's welcome back to Metal Mayhem ROC, Carl Kennedy. Hey, Carl, what's up, man?
Hi, John. How are you? No, I'm just kidding. 40 years in the business. I needed my cane and my beard's down to my waist. But yes, it's been a long time. I've been in the business a long time.
I said 40 plus when I was writing the copy. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go 50 because maybe it's not 50. But, I'm trying to stay with the continuity. But either way, the resume is long. The experiences are even longer. How are you? Where are you right now?
I'm doing well. I'm home in my little studio where I record my drums and whatever little hack parts I pick up on my guitar keyboard. And so that's where I am, sitting here by my computer screens.
Pennsylvania area, or are you down south?
Pennsylvania, Scranton. Mm-hmm. Outside of Scranton.
Not that far from Rochester. We're in like in the mid-40s today. Maybe a little rain. Mm.
I love Rochester. You know, recorded quite a few projects up there.
Oh, yeah. The Rochester Metal Pipeline is legendary. You know, we could go on all day on that. But we're here today to talk about your new project. New album comes out on the 19th of November. The band is the 450s. I have tons of notes on the new release, but let's get a quick backstory of the guys you're playing with, how it came together, and then we'll take a deep dive into the new album.
Sounds good. So, you know, this is these guys, I had early on, I had produced Young Turk. The singer is from Young Turk, Rhett, and so I produced Young Turk, did an album for Geffen and an album for Virgin. And so I had managed the band and produced them for years. So I always thought Rhett was brilliant. In fact, he conned me. I was working with Rocks Gang in Tampa. He kept hounding me, stop in Miami. I'm like, I'm not going to go to Miami to see some band called Young Turk that I've never heard of. He cajoled me. And so finally I flew in. I was going home after 3 months in Tampa. I was going home. The last thing I wanted to do was stop in Miami and to see this kid. But I did. We wound up, having a great connection and wound up working with the band. So we've all been friends forever. St. James guys, I signed them to my production company. So Bobby and Jimmy, the guitarist and bass player, known them forever and produced for them and wound up on their everything they did. Like, we did two full albums, we did demos. I was never quite able to land a deal for them, but we recently, like 3 years ago, we released an album called Resurgence, which did very well. And we have more product in the pipeline for that. But so we'd known each other all this time, and then Rhett, Bobby, and Jimmy knew each other, and we're all good friends. So for all these years, we've all been friends. We wanted to work together. And so finally we said, you know what, let's do a band. Let's start a band. And that's what happened. And we wound up going to Atlanta, although I didn't make that trip because of a little shoulder muscle thing. I couldn't get on the flight in the morning, but everybody else wound up in Atlanta, and that's where the songs were written. And then we recorded it in Miami. So
it definitely has a Southern flow, and I'll touch on that when we talk about the album. But you have a record label, Louder Than Loud Records. What's that all about?
You know, it's an interesting thing to start a record label at a time when people no longer buy records.
Yeah, right.
but Giles Lavery has been my manager now for a couple of years, and it's been a great relationship from day one. And we started talking about my catalog, which we've been able to license. And, he was responsible for this new re-release of all the Rod's catalog, which is doing a great job. High Roller is doing an unbelievable job on all of it. But in the process of all these discussions and licensing and whatever, we thought, you know what, it would be a lot of freedom to actually start our own label and do that. So then we would be able to promote. And we thought, you know, the 450s is a perfect place to start. Now, we have other things, Louder Than Loud Records has. We have another release we're going to be announcing soon. And, you know, we have things in the pipeline now that I think people will really be interested in. But we thought, you know, we'll launch the 450s and we'll go from there.
First question, 450s, where's that coming from?
That was just a name that the guy, we were looking for a name, and the guys just came up with the 450. So
okay, That simple. So the debut album, self-titled, three videos have been dropped. Tell us about the videos. You have three of them. Oh, the first one, Lost in Denial. That was the first one. Where was this recorded?
These videos were recorded in different places. Now, Lust and Denial is actually the most recent video. The first one was Flowers for Columbine. Second was Lucy Walk Away. And this new one is Lust and Denial. So while we were at the studio, we recorded a lot of footage with video. We brought in a videographer. And so we recorded a ton of stuff there while we were recording. So that's a lot of the footage we're using. But then we also recorded footage at home. You know, did our own stuff outside, inside, in our studios. And so that's the footage we're using. And but we at the studio, if you notice, if you look the footage of me, you'll catch a glimpse of clown heads up on the wall at the very top. Those are all the original clown heads from Killer Clowns from Outer Space. They're actually from the movie. And the studio had a great vibe, and it was fun to be in that room and record.
All right. Well, three videos, find them on YouTube, and they're all part of this album. The album, about, 11, 12 tracks. Most of them are in between 3 and 4 minutes long. You get in and get out. Jack Douglas, the longtime producer of Aerosmith, Cheap Trick, a couple other bands, he was in there involved in the mixing. And Chris Collier, who does some heavier stuff, Korn and Prong, he worked on the mixing and production that helped to get that modern sound. Let's quickly touch on their involvement.
It was interesting to have both of them mix the album, and then from there we would choose, you know, whose mix we would use. So it was really amazing. And what was amazing is that Jack Douglas made production calls. Like, he would, in deciding what we would leave in, what he would leave out, or what he would accentuate. Very interesting. What a very musical producer he is. And you can see why he's had longevity in the business. Chris Collier is the young hotshot. I mean, he is just, to me, he's the top young mix engineer. And he mixed the Rods, he mixed the Kennedy album, and of course he mixed the 450s as well. And I just can't say enough about Chris being on the cutting edge of technology and just having great ears. And if you listen to the Whitesnake reissues, which Coverdale has had him come in to do more and more of, you really hear the difference, like just how great he is. But because you can compare the original Whitesnake, which always sounded great, to what Chris has done. And but anyway, so it was really fun and interesting to have two amazingly talented people working on this album.
So let's take a deep dive into this album. The band, again, he just goes by the name of Rhett is the singer. And then you got the brothers, James and Robert Jacobs, on guitar and bass. That must be interesting to have a brother dynamic in the band.
Well, you know, it's funny because there is no brother dynamic with those guys. They have a lot of respect for each other. In terms of, it's not like, even though in fact, I was going to say, I think when I listen to this music, I think of it as like a Black Crowes, a Counting Crowes, like a Soul Asylum, like it, you know, that kind of very organic kind of band. Mm-hmm. With a real rock edge, a little more punk edge, actually, mostly comes from Red, I think. But no, those two guys, they don't have that. They don't have the Black Crowes, Let's Fight, or band I'm thinking of now? I just forgot their name from England.
The Gallagher Brothers.
Brothers. Oasis. Yeah, like, you know. Yeah, Oasis, thank you. They don't have that. Let's just kick each other's asses.
Or the other Gallagher brothers, Raven guys, John.
Oh, yeah. But those guys don't. They're just cool guys. Yeah. They're great.
No, these are my notes on these are my interpretations. Rhett, not afraid to put himself out there. Excellent, excellent singer. James Jacob, the guitarist, has some really tasty leads. Knows his way around the Telecaster. Looks like Carl and Robert have really discovered each other. They work well together. And Ryan Sambrook, the keyboard player, does a hell of a job on Black Tar. And
he does. I love what he did on Black Tar.
And Gracie is heavy. So Black Tar, yes. First, the keyboards, big kind of vibe going on here, a theatrical thing. Let's get your input on that song.
Black Tar is one of my favorite songs. In fact, I just mentioned recently, we have more videos coming from this album. And we also have lyric videos coming. So we have a lot of product yet to go. But Black Tar needs to be a single because it's one of my favorite songs on the album. Ryan did a killer job on Black Tar. He, to me, makes the song. That and Fernie played banjo on this, which in the beginning, and he goes, you know, this song could use a banjo. And he picks up a banjo from off the wall and mics it and plays the part one take.
No, that's interesting because one of my notes on that's on Black Tar has a little bit of maybe modern country in quotes, and maybe that's what that was.
But so back to Rhett in terms of, well, let's talk about Jimmy. Jimmy is brilliant, and Jimmy is he's so talented, but he did a great job in writing parts that sort of interwoven, and he did a great job where there's subtleties to them, but also lots of hooks. He did a great job, and his tone, I love the tone he got out of that Telecaster, very, very cool. And Rhett, and I think the difference with the Jacobs brothers and myself, you know, Bobby and Jim and I, we're all like, let's make sure that it's dialed in and it's precise and we're as focused as possible. Rhett, on the other hand, is the true quote unquote artiste. And so Rhett, if you like, you listen to his lyrics, I think his lyrics are really, really brilliant. He does. He's really is an artist, and he's a great lyricist, in my opinion. I've always had nothing but respect for him, and also working with him so much over the years producing, I've noticed how fast he's so quick to write lyrics, and they just come out, and they're so good. And he's quick. If in Lust and Denial, there's a rap part toward the end, halfway through the song, didn't know what to do with that. We're in the studio and I'm in the control room saying they're talking to him through the glass. He goes, wait, hold on a second. And he scribbles something on the paper. He goes, okay, roll it. And he did that part in one take, wrote the lyrics and sang that part that fast. And it's a brilliant lyric. The note you left, didn't read it, never read it. It's brilliant. So, you know, in my opinion, everybody worked well together. There was no egos. We all got along and we all worked for the song. And I think that was the other thing that shows in this is that we all worked for the material. You know, I came in, I hadn't been at the writing session, so I was new to the material. We'd run it down. I'd make a suggestion if I thought there was a little arrangement thing or something, and I'd work out a feel for the song as far as the drum parts go. And then we would run it down live, like this new way of recording that no one's ever heard of, putting musicians in a room together, and they all play the song from the beginning to end together.
Imagine like, that eye contact and everything else.
Nobody, it's unbelievable. I hate to let them out of the bag. That's a big trade secret. So maybe we should cut that part out so nobody knows. But
Carl, you certainly weren't shy when it came to putting your stamp on stuff in the song Crawl. My notes, those damn drums again, the drums and bass working well together. Kennedy sounds like a percussionist. The lead, wow, the wah-wah, what a tasty riff. Tell us about the song Crawl.
Well, that song is based on, Jimmy was the one who came up with that idea. And that song is really, it's a cool idea, the cool riff, and that was his, he's that sick little mind, he loves those dark riffs, and so that was his creation, and it was fun to play. I have to say it was a lot of fun. Sacred your touch, holier.
I have a gut feeling, according to my notes, maybe the song Drown would possibly be the next single. The song gets right to it. Sort of sounds like a little bit of Mick Jagger, if you will. Guitar, leads, drums, get right to it. Great track. Tell us about Drown.
You know, I think that's, I'm glad you said that, because I love Drown. And I would think that should be the next single. It's a killer song. And Drown was one that I don't know that everybody was as thrilled with that song at first as I was. I was right away, I thought Drown was a killer tune. But and then as it went on, and I think with Rhett developing the vocal, I think it was everybody came to love the song. But initially, it wasn't like the top, you know, top song.
Talking with Carl Kennedy, drummer of the newly formed American rock band, the 450s. Debut self-titled CD comes out tomorrow, November 19th, out on Louder Than Loud Records. Carl, any plans about taking this circus on the road, playing some dates? What's that landscape look like?
Well, thank you, COVID. How many tours are booked and canceled? We're hoping to get the band to Europe. And we're hoping to do some shows in the States, if nothing else, at least an East Coast tour, if not some shows out West. But that's the plan. But right now, you know, we just don't have anything booked, but we're constantly looking for whatever we can get to jump on, be part of, and hopefully doing a couple of festivals in Europe, if nothing else.
Well, let's do a little roundup on your other projects. Last time we talked, Kennedy was out with Warrior. What are those guys up to? What's the status of the Kennedy outfit?
Well, in a couple of hours, I'm going to be rehearsing with Kennedy. We have three new songs done, recorded, and we're working. We have three more songs written, and we're, you know, well on our way for this next album, which I have to say I'm very excited about the fact that, you know, how the sophomore jinx kicks in, and a lot of times, you know, it's just not as strong. But I have to say that as a band, we've grown, and I think the material is really good, if not better than the first album. So it bodes well. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to have that album released. As far as the other thing, actually, I have a band, Colocus, from my band from the mid-70s, and I was 20, whatever it was when I was with these guys. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of recording. I mean, a lot of touring, did a lot of dates, all East Coast, but we were playing 5 and 6 nights a week. And so now with the original members, we have an album that's almost done. And I always say this, and it does, again, it's not meant to be derogatory, but it is, you know, how I view it anyway. It's kind of like a poor man's Hall & Oates. It's not a rock album in the sense of hard in any way, but it's really good. I'm very proud of it. And now that's almost done. I have one more drum track to complete that album. And then the Rods, I have 5 tracks that are ready for my drums, and we have 2 more tracks ready to go. We're just going to get together as soon as we can here and finish an arrangement on one. And so Rods are well on the way for another album, which is, I'm excited because at this point in our career, you know, each album is, which, you know, which one will be our last, but we're going strong still. So that's exciting. And of course the 450 is planning, you know, we're making plans for the next album as well. So
now some of your past projects, it's well documented. You were involved an integral part besides the Rods being around in the early 80s, your work with Overkill and Exciter and Anthrax, that's well documented, your production and producing contributions. Going back to Anthrax, were you involved in any way in interview or commentary on their 40th anniversary package that they put together? I think there's some videos coming out. Do you have anything to do with that?
I did not. I was not asked, and so I did not do anything.
Keep in touch with those guys at all?
I do, yeah. No, I'm in touch with Joey, Frankie, I mean, you know, occasionally Scott and Charlie, but no issues there. Just Missy told me something. I don't know what the story was, but I actually kind of thought I should have been involved because it was part of the seminal creation of Anthrax, the early days, the first albums. And so, but no harm, no foul. It's fine.
I just was rubbing elbows with Danny Lilker the other night at a show up here in Rochester.
Oh, Danny's great.
Yeah. Nuclear Assault played a couple weeks ago. They had a one-off up here. He lives up here, works up here, and, you know, a little bit of our metal history with the Anthrax guys. Overkill.
Absolutely.
Bobby Blitz. When was the last time you saw those guys?
I saw, I think it was 2.5 years ago. I did a show. Mike, the singer in Kennedy, and I did a show at the Hard Rock in Anaheim, opening for Metal Allegiance.
Okay.
And so I'm going down the stairs and there's Bobby on the phone, and it was great. It was a great reunion. Hadn't seen him in decades, you know, so it was a great, he was the same. Bobby's always the same. He's the same guy. He's always been that way. Not pretentious, even though he's a rock star, just the coolest guy.
And the Exciter guys, has it been decades?
No, we did a show with Exciter. Oh, was it? It's in New York, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But I stay in touch with Alan. Dan isn't really on Facebook, but yeah, I mean, those guys were friends. I mean, I've loved those guys from day one.
Oh yeah, the chance to see them as a 14-year-old up here on the Violence and Force tour, just up at the Penny Arcade, and back then, Ron and Jackie Stein of Lakeshore Record Exchange, they were the ones promoting those shows up at Lakeshore. And those were on Sunday afternoons. But, you know, we go on forever with the Rochester connection.
Mm-hmm. I think they promoted shows with Elf as well.
Oh, that's the point I wanted to bring up. In August, I was down in Nashville for the Rockin' Pod convention. And on the way back, I started listening to the just released Ronnie James Dio book. Can you comment on that whole Dio, Central New York, you, Feinstein, you? Just comment on that era.
I joined a band called Raw Meat. I think I was 19. And Raw Meat was a big band. It had been Brian's Idols. And they were, you know, they had recorded for RCA. So they were big on the whole tri-state thing that the Elves were on. And so that band, Raw Meat, rehearsed in a Finnish garage and Elf rehearsed in the house. And because the bass player and the guitarist from Rami and the guitarist from the Elves were roommates. So that's how that worked. So I would see the guys from early on, but going to shows back then, you know, it was high school dances and it was like people would actually dance at a high school. But when the Elves played, everybody sat on the floor. Nobody danced. It was a concert. Even though they were doing cover music, there was something about the band that they were all cool. They were all great musicians, collectively they just had a sound and the presentation, and it was a concert, and everybody recognized it. And so you're sitting there watching this concert. They're playing cover songs, like kind of, you know, that's unheard of that you go watch a band play cover songs and you sit down and watch them in awe like a concert band. But that's who they were, and they were phenomenal. And as they started doing original material, things grew. So it was interesting to see how that progressed and, you know, getting the record deal and going from there. But, you know, I know a lot of stories between David and Craig and, you know, knowing Gary and Mark Nosseeff and the guys. So, you know, a lot of the inner, like, little stories from all of that. But it was great to see it happen. And, of course, Ronnie was a star from day one, and it was very kind of him at the end to sing one of my songs and the song "Metal Will Never Die," which I think is such a great song that should be like a classic metal song that's not gotten the recognition it deserves. You should really look at doing a re-release of that and promoting it differently than it was.
Well, maybe that's a project for Louder Than Loud Records.
It actually sounds like it might be now that we actually mention it, because that's such a great song. Ronnie just sang so well on that.
You should read or listen to that book if you haven't.
I will. I will do that. It's been on my list. I just haven't gotten to it.
Do you ever try audiobooks? Because I love them.
I love audiobooks, but I have not. So I've heard a couple that friends have had, but I have not. Not done. I was just saying I wanted Johnny Z, and I were just talking. He said the audiobook has so much more. And so I'm saying, what is it? Audible. What's the subscription? Whatever it is. Audible.
Yeah, it's through Amazon Audible, the Dio book, the official one, Rainbow Into Dark or something.
Yes, I'll have to do that.
After this interview, stay on, and I could send you a complimentary copy of it.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so the band is the 450s. New one comes out tomorrow on Louder Than Loud Records. Videos all over YouTube. Go out there, check it out, buy the physical product. You know, I'm sure this is all on the stream locations too, correct?
It is, and you know, the other thing is, a lot of times my friends will want to support, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, you can support bands by just adding them to a Spotify playlist. If you can't support with money, or you don't want to support with money, which is perfectly fine, you can support. Start a Spotify playlist, the 450s, or add us to an existing playlist. That would be huge.
Carl, what's the best social to get all information on your product?
Well, there's always, can always find me on Facebook, Carl Kennedy, but I think for the 450s, the 450s.com will get you everything you need to know about the band, videos and product. So, and it's going to be vinyl as well as CDs, so, and shirts and whatever.
Well, sounds like a party. Carl Kennedy, yeah. Thanks for calling and spending the afternoon with me today.
John, thank you so much for the support. Really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, bud.
You too.
Bye.
Metal for Life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone,
even your non-metal friends.
Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football.
FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.